listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
So thank you for your giving. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. What to do is just kind of give some background, some introduction to where we're going to be going this morning in that respect. As we've been saying today, it's Father's Day. Of course, we do want to honor each and every one of you fathers and grandfathers today. Maybe a surprise to you, but it shouldn't be. You're a father because you have natural sons and daughters. You're a grandfather because your children have had children. And that makes for why we have a day like today. I want to ask you a question. As a father, as a grandfather, raising your family in this present culture, as a Christian father, as a Christian grandfather, what separates us or what makes us any different than any other father that is out there in America today? Is there a difference between the fathers of America, the dads and the grandpas all across this country, and those who are people of faith? I'd like to differentiate, and I want to challenge you this morning to elevate your fatherhood sights today as men of God. And actually, this isn't only for those who are men of God. This is for women of God, for all of us who are sons and daughters of God Himself. Maybe you're stuck this morning at a level of fatherhood that is ignoring the spiritual dimension of your children and your grandchildren. That is imparting to your sons and daughters a regular diet of spiritual reality. Are you sowing daily into your kids spiritual truth and providing spiritual understanding, starting with the truth of personal salvation? That is one way of raising the bar in our role of fatherhood. Christian fatherhood could very well be this. Number one, raising and providing for children, your children, on a natural level. Secondly, downloading into their lives spiritual values and providing an eternal perspective. However, this morning, I want to raise that bar yet to another level. You thought it could be quite a challenge to raise children in this day and age, and it is a challenge. Providing for those kids, food, clothing, education, all those things that are natural to our well-being. But again, as Christian dads and grandpas, one of our greatest concerns should be the spiritual level of our family. Where is our family in their pursuits after God? But yet, there's still more to this whole subject. You see, I want to challenge you to go beyond your natural family this morning. we're pretty comfortable in that circle. We know our kids. We know our grandkids. We feel the passion to impart to them spiritual value. But I want to raise that just a little bit more because I want to give us this morning a biblical kingdom perspective of fatherhood. See, the Bible says that there are many sons, but few fathers in the household of faith. And I want to talk a little bit about what it means to be a spiritual father in the house. Not only raising our own kids, that is, our children and our own grandkids, but I want to talk to you about being a father, maybe even a mother in the faith, to those who would be considered spiritual sons and spiritual daughters. That's a lofty challenge. It extends our calling and responsibility beyond our circle to others in the household of faith, to those who have no spiritual father or mother. They're kind of like orphans in the faith. I guess I could be pretty passionate about that subject because that's my journey personally. I never had a dad that took a spiritual interest in me. When I came to faith, came to know Jesus, my dad did provide for us. He made sure there was food on the table. We had clothes. And there's a story behind that as well. But it's not important to get into it. But as far as his spiritual life was concerned, he had nothing to offer us because he wasn't truly committed to Jesus at that point in his life. And so I was kind of like a foster kid out there, spiritually speaking. And it was important for me to draw off of other more mature men and women of God. There was this one man who took a responsibility for me and raised me as a spiritual son. And to this day, I'm forever grateful. Now, what I'm talking about here is raising spiritual sons and daughters in the house of faith. And this isn't just for men. This is for women as well. It has nothing to do with age as well. How many understand that you, in your spiritual growth, can come alongside somebody and assist them and help them and grow them in the things of God? It's for everyone, for men, women. It's not limited to a certain age. A spiritually healthy disciple of Jesus, I'm going to give it to you this morning, should have these three components in their life. We all should have a Paul, someone that speaks into our life, a trusted person of God who can sow into us spiritual values. We need a Titus, that is a spiritual brother, who we can come alongside of and walk this journey together. And we all need a Timothy. A Timothy is someone in the faith who is younger, who is less mature than perhaps you, and someone that you can speak into and grow them in the things of God. So think about your life for a moment this morning. Who is your Paul? Do you have a Paul in your life? Do you have a Titus in your life? And do you have a spiritual Timothy? It's important for us to begin to think outside the box of our immediate family. We've got to start thinking about the family of God, God's family. How many know we're part of a larger family than our natural family? Have you figured that out? We're part of a household of faith called God's family. And when we realize that, we can begin to take on responsibility that God offers to us. So besides your natural sons and daughters, men and women of God here this morning, who else might God want you to invest your life in? It doesn't stop there. Let me give you a third level. So what have I given you so far? I've given you your natural kids, raising them naturally, raising them spiritually. I'm now talking to you a little bit about expanding your horizons, men and women of God, to include like foster children of God, people in the house who need a spiritual dad and need a spiritual mom. But let me give you a third level this morning as we talk about God's household of faith. You need to turn to James chapter 5 and verse number 19, a couple verses, 19 and 20. I will read out of the English Standard Version this morning. Let's look at this, because God, our Father, is about building his family. How many know that he has people who've started this journey and walked away from him? How many know he has sons and daughters who've put their hand to the plow but somehow have gotten distracted in the journey? Here's what James says about that. He says this: my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back. Do we understand what that's talking about? That's saying, if there's anyone out there that started living for God and somehow gets themselves distracted, and if anyone brings them back, let them know, whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Here's how I'd like to say it this morning. So, anyone meets someone. Say it with me. Anyone meets someone. You're getting it. Let's try it again. Anyone meets someone. I want you to get used to that idea this morning, because I want to expand on it. What does that mean on Father's Day? As we talk about the kingdom of God, the family of God, family, God's family from his perspective. The beauty of this passage from James 5 is evidence of God's personal care for every one of his children. Not just us who sit in this room. How many know God our Father has kids scattered all over Grays Harbor who were once introduced to the things of God and for whatever reason find themselves on the outside looking in? I want to address that crowd this morning. But it starts with us first understanding that God our Father has a family. just like you have a natural family. God has a family. And he has ways and means of caring for that family. And you are a big part of caring for that family. So let's break it down. I'm talking about three levels here. I want you to get the picture. I'm talking about your natural family, your kids, your grandkids, those who are natural to you, born into your family. They are in your bloodline. We want to care for those. We want to make sure that they have shoes on their feet, etc., etc., etc. We want to make sure that they're plugged into the things of God and they have a spiritual dimension in their life. Check that box off. How many know that's important? Next level that I'm talking to you about are spiritual orphans. Those in the household of faith, those in our church family here who really don't have a spiritual mom or dad. And they need somebody to come alongside of them and grow them in the things of God. I said that has no age limits. That is not a gender thing. We all are responsible for one another. Okay? So that's the second level, spiritual sons and daughters. Third level is this bigger picture of God's family at large. And how does that work? How is God able to reach all these kids? How many in this room have your own natural family that you are praying for? You're in pain over. Come on, be honest. Absolutely. Now you, as a parent, are concerned about your natural kids. How many know our Heavenly Father is concerned about his kids as well? Are we aware of that? I'm going to try to give you some insights into how this could possibly work. Because God has ways of caring for his family. And he does so by matching up a someone with an anyone. A someone with anyone for a life-saving mission. You might think today about those who aren't living for God as they once did. Like someone whom God may have put on in your pathway in recent times, maybe even this week. The name of that person most likely comes to mind is someone who is already close to you. Like a family member, a longtime friend, maybe somebody at work. Don't overlook the obvious, your grandchildren. But don't limit your efforts to this group. Be open this morning to raising spiritual sons and spiritual daughters, those who are seeking a relationship with God. And this can go two ways. First, when it comes to raising spiritual children, you may need to pick up where someone else has watered, where someone else has planted seeds, cared for them, and then you come along to harvest. This has happened so many times in my life. People have wandered into my life, and they have had some previous exposure to the things of God. They may have been in a church, They could have been, I run into a lot of pastors' kids, people who have been around the things of God quite deeply. And what I discover here is that for whatever reason, they found themselves in a place of disillusionment and kind of wandered off. Somebody else has, like I said, sown seeds, watered those seeds, and now I find myself kind of in a marathon here, in a, what do you call those races where you hand off the baton? A relay. I'm the third guy in the relay. Isn't that right? Isn't that how that works sometimes? Sometimes you sow seeds. Sometimes you water that seed. Sometimes God calls on you to harvest that seed. But if I'm harvesting that seed, it's not seed that I have planted. Somebody else planted that seed. Somebody else watered that. But God has used me to come along to bring in a harvest. And that's what he wants to do with you as well. I want to explain it this way. There are people right now that have kind of given up on their children. Their kids are out there, maybe in drugs, doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. And basically, they are a prodigal to that family group. And there's nothing that they can do. But when that person comes to their senses, God's plan for his family is to connect someone with anyone. And the Holy Spirit will work in your life. You might realize here today that you thought it was by coincidence that you bumped into somebody in downtown Aberdeen, downtown Hoquiam, maybe wherever you were, maybe at the gym, wherever you may have been, you might have thought it was coincidental. Oh, I just ran into so-and-so. Could it be that was a setup by the Holy Spirit to connect someone with anyone? Somebody has been praying for that person, praying for someone like you or me to come in, step in, and become an instrument of hope in that person's life. You can't get there, church, if you don't have a kingdom mindset or a mindset that shows you the bigger picture. The bigger picture is God's family. His Holy Spirit is at work drawing people into his family. I'm going to repeat this a few times this morning. There's you and your natural family, and yes, you should be sowing value into your natural family, into your kids, mom and dad. Raising the spiritual bar in your family group. But it's not limited to that. There are spiritual orphans in the household of faith. We got to find those people. And we got to start caring for them and sowing into them value. So they, like me, who is a product of that kind of upbringing, can grow in their faith and find their place in the kingdom of God. But this third level that I'm talking about are the prodigals. Those that are out there that the Holy Spirit wants to put on your heart so that you can be instrumental in seeing them find hope for their life. You see, that's the big picture. But can I flip this a little bit and give you another sight on this? Some of you have kids right now. You've done everything that you know to do for them. And they're a prodigal from your house. I mean, you've tried everything you can imagine. Can I offer a word of encouragement to you this morning? How about if you entrust your prodigal this morning to the work of the Holy Spirit and just let the Holy Spirit release them to the care of another? Just let the Holy Spirit. I mean, no, we're talking God's family here. I mean, no, God knows all about his family. He loves each kid immensely. So instead of us trying to be tight-fisted, how about if we just say, okay, I've done my role, God. I've done my shot. I've done my best shot on this. I've got a prodigal. And I'm going to ask you, Holy Spirit, to connect my prodigal with a someone so that they can come to a full knowledge of your love and your mercy. So begin trusting God this morning to put the person you are invested in on some other believer's heart. When you're exhausted and you feel that you're at the end of your influence on their life. By the way, you should never consider yourself a failure or ineffective or out of a job as a parent or grandparent. Remember, there is someone else who's in your shoes today. Someone who is also weary of trying and failing and trying to get to a loved wanderer. Someone's been praying for someone like you to come along. So it's not coincidental that people are being drawn to you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit seeking to match you with someone. This is for the good of God's family, so that you can be a part of raising God's spiritual household. How many know we all are players in raising the family of God? Because what God does, he largely does through relationships. And these relationships could be a product of your past, like maybe someone you've gone to high school with, maybe someone you've gone to college with, maybe someone you're working out with at the gym, or even some family member. Maybe someone who once lived in your neighborhood, and you got kids of the same age. You all knew each other. Now we come to a place where they're reaching out and they need spiritual care. That's where we come in. Because we want to come in as instruments of God to build the family of God. It's not really about what church people go to. At the end of the day, it'd be nice if they came to Cornerstone Church. I mean, we just want to love on people, but how many know we're part of a bigger enterprise? It's called the family of God. It's about reaching people and establishing them. You don't know how many times I've gotten the call, Pastor, God's working on somebody that I'm working with. They want to go back to Denver, Colorado. Do you know of a church? Do you know of a pastor in that area that we can connect them with? Or name another city. I mean, there are dozens of places like that that have come to my attention. You see, it's all about reaching people for the kingdom. It's about reaching people for God. God loves all people. So, as you open your heart to God's stirring, this person's name, this person's memory, keeps popping up unexpectedly. Again, it's not coincidental. It's coming to you with weight. It's coming to you with frequency because God wants to use you. Don't take this for granted. Hey, here's some advice for you. Get on it. When you feel that stirring in your heart, God's at work. He's building his family. Eventually, someone is going to bring them back, or you will be an instrument in someone else's life. That is the heart of our Father. Someone is going to find this anyone that the Holy Spirit is working on. Now, for you, don't wait any longer to get involved in raising God's family or partnering with the Holy Spirit. So when the Bible says to go after anyone who has wandered from the truth, you can never say a person is too far gone to be reached. Keep in mind, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be alerting you about making a connection if it weren't not part of his plan. God is extending his grace to that someone. And you could very well be part of God's plan of restoring people. You see, can I use another Bible verse? Scripture teaches us we have the ministry of reconciliation. That's our ministry. Reconciling people to God. Whether they're part of our family group, whether they're part of our church group, or whether they're part of God's huge family. Or even besides that, we have the ministry of reconciliation. So don't underestimate the urgency of your mission. We used to sing a song a few generations back, Rescue the Perishing. Care for the dying. Some of you don't even know that song, but there was a song like that. And that song was about someone going after anyone for the kingdom. That's what it was about. So I want to talk to you about God's family this morning. And I want to wrap it up by identifying what family building includes. It includes three things. I hope you're getting this morning. Number one, it includes raising your natural sons and daughters. That's pretty basic. That's family building 101. God gives parents and grandparents the urgency to raise their kids in natural things and spiritual things. I put on there, do your job. Parents, get involved with your kids. Know what they're reading, what they're involved in. Get involved with their education. Get involved with their health issues. As far as parenting is concerned, take every parenting class that opens up to you. How many know we need help in this day and age to raise our natural sons and daughters? Okay? You disciple them first. And it's not limited to the natural aspect, but it's also imparting to our natural sons and daughters a spiritual dimension that starts with being born again. You should be intentional about every one of your kids and grandkids getting saved. Very intentional about that. That's huge. So that's the first part of our role in family building. Number one is raising our natural sons and daughters for the kingdom. Number two is raising spiritual sons and daughters. This is going to require that you elevate your sights. I'm not a great marksman. I can shoot a gun, but I can miss targets quite a bit too. If you have a scope or you have those Lee Enfield rifles, how many remember those from another generation? They had elevating sights on them. So if you picked out a target maybe 500 yards away, you'd have to elevate the sights to reach your target. That was a bit of a science that I never really figured out. For me, it was more of a guessing game. But when it comes to raising sons and daughters, it's going to require that you raise your sights. Your sights need to elevate beyond your natural family, because now God may open up to you some foster sons and daughters in the faith. So look around each Sunday that you gather. Who is God bringing in here? Don't get comfortable with just your own friends. Start reaching out and looking for spiritual sons and daughters. We've got a lot of material in this place that can help you disciple a son or a daughter in the faith. Okay? That's your second level. And the third that we're talking about here this morning is reaching out to anyone whom the Lord brings into your life. And this is to widen your scope. You need to broaden your vision. You need to see God's family much differently, perhaps, than you have in recent times. Reaching people, connecting with the Holy Spirit in such a way that we will be following his promptings. Now, I'm going to tell you something here that may be new to you. We in this church are a presence-driven church. We love the presence of God. Amen? We love to endear his presence. We get sensitive when to the moving of the Holy Spirit, and we sense in our hearts, yes, that's God. Love it. I'm being drawn into the presence of God. We sense the Spirit of God speaking to us, and we love it. We're wired for that. But that has to transcend from this room into our everyday life. So when you meet anyone and the Holy Spirit says, that's my prodigal over there, I want you to hook up with them. I want you to connect with them. And I want you to introduce them to the things of God. Can I give you a biblical example? How many remember Philip, a follower of Jesus in the book of Acts? Philip was minding his own business in Jerusalem. And then what happens? The Holy Spirit says, get yourself on the Gaza road, because I've got a guy there that's seeking me and he needs help. How many remember that story in the book of Acts? And then what happened? Philip didn't even have a time to get a bus ticket, plane ticket, hop in a car, the Holy Spirit transported him. How many would like to be on that assignment? The Holy Spirit transported him about 50, 75 miles southwest. And when he hits ground, he sees a chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch in it. And the guy's reading from the book of Isaiah. He's on his game now. He kind of comes up alongside the chariot and he says, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm reading the book." "Do you understand what you're reading?" "No, I can't understand this. Can you help me?" See, that's your assignment. Be keyed into the Holy Spirit in such a way. You get practiced up in the church here in Sunday mornings. You get close to the presence of God. You sense the Holy Spirit working in your life so that you can be on your game the next days of the week. So when the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, "Okay, it's time for you, someone, to hook up with anyone so that the family of God can be enriched by what you can deposit into that person's life." How many get in the picture? So the third thing here that we're talking about is rescuing people who have drifted away from the ways of God. Because this is about God's family. And he cares about each and every one of those just as much as he cares about you here this morning. I gotta say, this is the best Father's Day message I've preached in 45 years. Seriously, and I've had a lot of Father's Day sermons that I've practiced and preached over the years. But I'm here to tell you, our Heavenly Father is deeply concerned about his family. And he's put you in his family not so just you can escape hell and go to heaven. He's put you in his family so you can be useful in his family to help others advance in the things of God. So let me ask you this morning, who in this room comes to mind when you think of someone who's influenced you? I kind of gave you a clue on that in my own life. Someone took me under wing, opened up scripture to me, discipled me, and helped me in the journey. That was my start. So secondly here, who is it that the Lord could give to you? Who's your anyone that you can pursue for his sake, just like someone has pursued you? And we can see the family of God grow, develop. Scripture says that we're all in this together. You've been called to do the work of the ministry. It's not the pastor's job. We've all been called to do the work of the ministry. How many like Westerns? Some of you don't know what a Western is. There was a day and age when Wyatt Earp in Dodge City had a bunch of bad guys. They're tearing up the real estate. He calls all of his buddies together and he deputizes them as undersheriffs. And now they've been given authority to take it to these bad guys. Now, I want to do something this morning. I know you're not going to take it to the bad guys, but I do want to deputize you to take this gospel of the kingdom to whoever the Holy Spirit opens up to you this week. Because we've been all called to build the family of God. Every one of us. Every single one of us in this. You have value to God. Oh, would you stand with me? Please do. Can I pray? Lord, help us this morning. Enlarge our vision. Yes, Lord. May we take our natural family seriously, caring for them, spiritually imparting to them. Lord, as we elevate our sights here today to others who need discipling, namely sons and daughters in the faith, help us to be open to those. And yet further, Lord, to this other third level. Widen our scope to see that you want us actively involved in people's lives. Not only as an instrument of hope, but secondly here, just to come to a place of rest, because we've exhausted all of our resources. And now we have to trust you that you're going to speak to somebody in another city, maybe, or another place, or even at another church to reach out to someone that we care deeply about. Father, it's about your family this morning. It's about your family. And you are a wonderful Father. And we're grateful to be a part of your family. But help us not to be drones in your family. Help us to be active with you, Father, following your Holy Spirit and producing spiritual sons and daughters for the kingdom's sake. I want to pray just one step further here. I just want to follow up prompting of the Holy Spirit. If you have in this third category that we've talked about, maybe a son or a daughter or a loved one, doesn't have to be a son or a daughter, maybe it's a nephew, a niece, maybe it's a natural brother or sister, someone that has kind of drifted. And you've exhausted your resources. I mean, you've been praying, you've been doing everything you know to do. And now you just feel like, I need to entrust this person to Jesus. That's the crowd I want to talk to right now. Do we have anybody here? You have exhausted your resources and you need somebody to come out there from somewhere and the Holy Spirit to speak to somebody and to reach them. Just keep your hand up. Would you do that right now? I want to pray for this group right now. You have someone that's endeared to you that you've kind of lost hope for, but now you just need to believe that God, our Heavenly Father, cares so much that he'll bring somebody else to play in this whole dynamic, and they respond. Jesus, we're trusting you that this book, the Bible, James chapter 5 in particular, is true. That you do care about those who've walked off. And right now, Lord, I'm praying for a number of people here in this room who have done everything they know to do on this planet up to this point. And so now, Lord, we're just going to trust you. Release these prodigals to you in the name of Jesus and believe you, Lord God, to do a quick work and bring redemption. Thank you, Lord, for what you want to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Now I want to pray for all of us that we get about the work that God's called us to do. And that is the work of reconciliation, redeeming people. Let's just pray yet for the Lord Jesus. You've called us to be reconcilers and about the work of reconciliation. Whether it's in our own natural family, whether it's in the scope of the church, or whether it's at your family at large, Lord, we're going to believe that you're going to put us on task right now to engage in the work of reconciliation. We want to see your family grow. We want to see the family of God built on good foundations. So help us, Lord, in this ministry that you've called us to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many see what we're talking about is not just about natural dads and grandpas? This is about everybody. Grandmas, grandpas, dads, moms, everybody, the house, engaged. Well, this is going to be a great day, because I have faith to believe that God's just going to open up opportunity after opportunity for you to pursue the ways of God. Amen? God bless you. If you haven't yet, men, received your gift today, see Jack at the back. He's got that for you. Thank you for being a part of this morning. Men, I want to remind you, we start on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for this amazing men's conference coming to you from Bethel Church in Redding, California. God bless you. Go in the name of the Lord.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.